7 o'clock. I would like to call this meeting to order. Good evening, everybody. There are two public meetings being held this evening in accordance with the Planning Act. The first meeting is regarding the application for the draft plan of the subdivision, draft plan of a condominium, and an amendment to the zoning bylaw from Paul A. King Consulting on behalf of Highlands of Bolton for 13540 King Street or Caledon King Town Line. West side of Caledon King Town Line, south of Columbia Way, at the terminus of Crest Ridge Drive, Bolton, Ward 5. The second meeting is regarding the application for an amendment to a zoning bylaw from Paul A. King Consulting on behalf of the Harvest Moon Center Incorporated for 13656 Coleraine Drive, northwest corner of Harvest Moon Drive and Coleraine Drive, Bolton, Ward 4. The purpose of the public meeting is to gather information from the public concerning the application. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the applications being heard at the public meeting should be directed to the town clerk's office. Any interested persons, excuse me, interested in wishing further notification regarding the application, be advised to clearly print their name on the sheets outside on the table, outside the door. The notification list located on the table at the entrance of the council chamber. Okay, I got that. Following the presentation, when then the members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, stating their name and address to provide comments. We ask the members of the public clearly state their name and address for public record. Hopefully that works. If you have a presentation material, please provide a copy of the recording secretary at the desk of your left. Please note that any information submitted this evening will be part of the town's record. Following the public comments, members of council are invited to ask questions to the presenter regarding the information contained within the presentation. Please note, council members are here to listen to the comments from the public. They're not here to provide an opinion or a debate on the matter. I will now ask Stephanie McVitie, Senior Development Planner, for the Town of Caledon to confirm the notification was conducted in accordance of the Planning Act for the public meetings.
Yes, Your Worship, notice was provided in accordance with the Planning Act.
Thank you, Ms. McVitie. Now I'll call on Mr. Paul King to begin his presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Paul King, and I'm the planning consultant for the owner in this particular case, Highlands of Bolton. As you already mentioned, this public meeting is to deal with three applications: a draft plan of condominium, a draft plan of subdivision, and a zoning amendment application. The application is for the property that I've identified on the air photo above. It's the former Toronto Montessori School in the Bolton community. It's actually in the Northeast Bolton Secondary Plan area. The table land of the property is about 3.8 hectares. There is also an access to the property from the Caledon King Town Line, which adds an additional approximately 2 hectares to the property. In terms of some of the, I've identified here the subject property. Surrounding the property is approximately 300 acres or so of lands that has been turned over to the Conservation Authority, lands certainly to the west and south and to the north and east are now in Conservation Authority hands. It's my understanding that the Conservation Authority is currently going through a process to determine the use of those properties and do trail design and things of that nature, so that there will be a full recreational use of that property. Surrounding the property otherwise, this is Crest Ridge Road, comes to the north terminus of the property and joins through to Columbia Way. This subdivision to the north was developed a few years back and is almost complete. There still are a couple of properties to be developed in it, but for the most part, it is complete. This next slide is the schedule of the Northeast Bolton Secondary Plan. It's the land use plan. For the most part, the lands in the secondary plan are low density residential. A little bit hard to distinguish. There are some medium density lands in the north, and the subject property is designated low density residential, medium density residential. I've included what the current official plan policies are for the property because they sort of set the stage in terms of what the development proposal is. So Official Plan Amendment 230 was the amendment to the Northeast Bolton Secondary Plan that designated the property the low-density residential and the medium-density residential. And what that means is that designation permits the development of the property at either low-density, medium-density, or a combination thereof. The policies of that amendment also stipulate that the lands that have frontage and access onto Crest Ridge Drive shall be developed for low-density, single detached housing purposes only. And there shall also be the provision of an emergency access from Crest Ridge Drive to the subject property. So these are the two draft plans that I mentioned. They're oriented unusually. If the north end of the property is essentially this boundary and this boundary. The first is the draft plan of subdivision. This is a draft plan of subdivision. And it simply is a subdivision that proposes three blocks of land. The first block is for the residential portion of the property, which includes the access road. The second portion is for the residential lands for a block for residential lands for the three units that we're proposing onto Crest Ridge. And the remainder is a block that is to be environmental lands. The second draft plan is the draft plan of condominium. And this is a condominium where the common elements are part of the condominium. So the access road, the stormwater detention block, the internal roads on the property are all shaded in the dark gray. The remainder of the lands are parcels of tied lands to the condominium. So there would be freehold lots and freehold dwellings that are tied to that condominium road. So there would be condominium fees associated with the maintenance and upkeep of those roads and services, but the title to the properties themselves would be freehold. The development proposal is for 130 condominium townhouse units. Those are developed at a frontage of 6.1 meters or 20 feet. There is included in that provision for 33 visitor parking spaces, and that's at a ratio of about 2.25 parking spaces per unit. They would all be on an internal condominium road. The access would be from the King Caledon King town line. I haven't shown the entire access, but this is the access to the site. We have identified the visitor parking areas external to the lots. And then the third element is that we have proposed, as per the official plan requirements, three residential single-family dwellings at the end of Crest Ridge that would be developed and have access to Crest Ridge. They're included as a block and would be proposed to be separated by part lot control. The other elements to the plan are we're proposing a parkette to the site, and as required by the official plan, there is a proposed emergency access That access would only be for emergency purposes in the event that the main access to the site or the intersection of the main access to the site was somehow blocked in an emergency situation and there needed to be an alternate access for emergency services vehicles. We've tried to develop the site in terms of meeting the requirements for municipal regional garbage pickup in terms of the geometrics of the roads and turnarounds so that that the region could provide municipal garbage pickup to the site. The remainder of the site is developed basically as standard townhouses. We do not have a builder for these. They were the type and form of townhouse was illustrated a while ago with respect to the official plan amendment that was approved. So there was a development design that was done that illustrated that they could be three-story townhouses, ground-related, and that is still an option, obviously, with this proposal. The remainder of the lands surrounding the site are now in the ownership of the Conservation Authority, and as I mentioned, they're going through a process now of planning the land around for trails and recreational uses. The intent is that this property would have access to those lands. There's connection points that are available to this land. We certainly can connect through the parkette. There are other areas in the plan where there's opportunities to connect, and certainly along the main entrance road, there's opportunities for connections. There will also, in all likelihood, be an opportunity for the community to the north to have a connection through the site at some point to also connect into the trail system that the TRCA would implement in the surrounding lands. There's probably connection happening right now, but this would formalize that connection, hopefully. That hasn't been finally determined in terms of how that will work or where it will be, but our proposal would be that there would be some form of connection through the property. And that's the end of my slide presentation. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. King. Are there any comments from the members of the public that are here tonight? If there are, please step up to the podium, clearly state your name and address for a public record, and ask your questions. So is there anybody from the public that wished?
My name is Deirdre Morrison Mohammed. I live at 37 Crest Ridge Drive. I noticed, certainly in my conversations with John Spina and with some other individuals, they talked about that there is a concern about the hill that is on the Caledon King Town line, that would need to be shaved off. And there's some concerns. I guess us as residents, we're concerned about whether this will ever become an access or a throughway between Crest Ridge and over onto the Caledon King Town line. I know right now there's a foot reserve that is town property. So I know that one of the issues that was brought up was that the cost of shaving that hill. And if that was the case, certainly one of the things that they were looking at doing was breaking onto Crest Ridge Drive. And if that is the case, my concerns as a resident, knowing how many children are in that community, is there the possibility that they could break onto Crest Ridge Drive? And if that is the case, would they actually be able to have an opening both onto the Caledon King Town line and onto Crest Ridge, because I see that as drawing more traffic into the community?
I think it's a very good question. So, Mr. King, and then I'll probably get Public Works Director Mr. Loveridge afterwards.
One thing I should mention is that this matter is at the Ontario Municipal Board, these files, and this hearing is scheduled for July of this year. And one of the issues between the parties, us and the town, is the access. We believe we've done a traffic study. We believe that the access is workable for this property. The town has identified some issues with respect to the traffic study and had a peer review done, and we're have ongoing negotiations with respect to what that work may be required to make that safe. I don't think at this point we know what that is, what the extent of that work may be, and it may be adjudicated with the board. But it isn't our proposal right now to have access through to Crest Ridge. In fact, we don't want access to Crest Ridge in terms of allowing through traffic in this site. We're looking at this as a self-contained site with a single access to it, so that the condominium is not influenced by exterior traffic either.
Okay. Mr. Loveridge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're in agreement with the developer and Mr. King's statement. At this point, the developer, his preference is to have the Callan and King line as his access. The town is in agreement that that should be the access for this development as long as it's made safe.
Okay.
And there's no, sorry, I'll just follow up. No intent at this point from the town's perspective to propose any access for traffic on Crest Ridge.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public? Yes, Andre, could you please come forward? Yep.
My name's Jonathan Kirk. I live at 50 Crest Ridge Drive. And as my fellow neighbor was mentioning about, yes, there is a very big concern among the residents of the street that Crest Ridge would be opened up to be a throughfare. With that being said, and I know that we've been involved with this development for over the past 5 years, we were just hoping that council itself, for those that will be buying into this development, what is council going to be prepared to do if there's a push from the residents of that development and push to have Crest Ridge Drive be opened up as a throughfare? Will council be making a final decision to state that no, that is not an option on the table, and it will stay as an emergency access only?
Mr. Loveridge, I'm going to have to turn that back to you, unfortunately, because I can't give an opinion at this point, but thank you for your question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't think at this point to answer the direct question, which is council in a position to make the commitment? I would answer, I don't think the town or council is in a position to make that absolute commitment at this point. We have been working nonstop for the last 6 to 8 months with the developer to make the Caledon King line the primary access, the only access, I should make, not just primary, the only access for this development. Our only concerns at this point are making sure that that access is safe for the people who will be accessing it and that live there. And so, again, we have not done any planning at this point to provide or even discuss access onto Crest Ridge.
Okay. Yes. Can you please come forward on?
Mr. Mayor, good evening, everybody. Name is Andrei Belousov, 10 Crest Ridge. I have a couple of questions. First of all, it was mentioned that this emergency exit will be blocked somehow. I'd like to know how. And another question is, if you start the construction, and when you start the construction, can you guarantee that the all machinery, construction machinery, will not go through Crest Ridge Drive?
Mr. King, you'd probably turn the mic on right there.
Thank you. I guess two parts. I can't say precisely what the configuration or the mechanism is to restrict access onto the emergency access. It's been done a number of different ways. That's something that we would look at in terms of design, whether it's a gate, whether it's knockdown bollards, whether it's it depends whether you want to have public pedestrian access through that point or not. So there's a number of things you can do to provide that security in terms of non-vehicular access but pedestrian access if that ends up being the desired route. Second question was when construction will start. I don't know the answer to that. We're in a process. After the planning process, there's all of the design and engineering that has to happen before shovels go in the ground. So I think it's fairly safe to say that it's certainly at the very earliest, the end of this year, and most likely into next year. And as part of the development process, we negotiate with the town construction access. I don't believe that would be that's been done yet, but I would suspect that we'd probably be forced to the Caledon King Town Line for construction access. Okay.
Mr. Loveridge?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So to answer the two questions of the support, Mr. King, the emergency access would be controlled, I would think, at this point by the town. So we will control the mechanism and who and how that access would be opened. And second thing, construction traffic in any circumstance would always come through the Caledon King Town Line.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public?
Good evening, Sherry Baroshi. Unfortunately, fire is not here again tonight. Maybe in the future, I could ask the mayor to have somebody from fire's second PIM that I've been to, and if it's a fire-related question, and fire's not here to answer it. So just asking in the future. Another concern that I have is parking. So I spoke to the representation of the applicant, and apparently the formula is a quarter car per unit. So of course my first question is, I've never seen a quarter car. So I'm like, okay, how does that work? But apparently that's the rule. And here's my concern. So this is a condominium complex. So possibly some of our youth, meaning 30s, are looking to buy to get into the market and set roots in Caledon, which that is a good thing. However, come Christmas time or Easter time or Thanksgiving, when they have the in-laws or mom and dad, so there's two cars. Where are we going to put them? Can't park them on the street because the street apparently is only 7 meters wide, which the conversion is 22.9 inches wide. And knowing, I don't know, maybe Rob can help me out here. How wide is a fire truck? Okay, so I'm going to go with maybe for emergency service vehicles, it might be not wide enough to have parking on the street. So I'm anticipating a possible problem with guest parking. That's one thing. Second thing is, I shouldn't even answer the question because fire's not here. So if I could take direction maybe from the mayor of how I would get my questions answered, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Well, you can ask the questions and they'll be on public record. Or you can submit it in written form to the clerk's office to get your questions answered that way. But I would, if you don't mind, you can just ask the questions and it'll be taken down as public record. I would recommend you do that.
Okay, I appreciate that. So my question is the fire route from the new fire hall, what would that be? Would it always be accessed through the off Crest Ridge and into there, or would they go out to the Albion Vaughan line?
Okay, Mr. Loveridge can answer that one for you.
Oh, yay.
Emergency access for that route would be off the Caledon King Line.
So Columbia Way? So then that's another problem because on Columbia Way, closest to the Albion Vaughan Line, it's a very narrow S-turn. It's a blinding turn. I don't know. I mean, you've been down that road, right? Yeah. So just a question, like, would that not be a bit of a problem, or would it not be a problem for our fire department?
So I'm not a fireman, Mr. Mayor, but I know that the fire department goes through their planning process to ensure that they can meet their legislated response times across the entire community. So that's part of the considerations and review, I think, that's completed.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted the fire here to ask these questions. So again, I will repeat myself, sir, Mayor. In future PIMs, can we please have a representation from fire? Thank you.
Okay, yes, please come forward.
Hi, my name is Linda Walterhouse. I'm at 41 Crestridge Drive. And I have two things. One is just to go on record as opposing the opening up of the end of Crestridge as an entrance to the development for the reasons stated earlier, but also I bought on the street for the purpose of it being a quiet, dead-end street. So I think by opening it up, obviously it changes the whole landscape. It changes the amount of traffic and noise we're going to have. But the biggest reason, obviously, is the safety reason. So I just wanted to go on record as opposing the entrance. And the second thing is just have a question. If for some reason the entrance on the Albion-Vaughan Town Line is not workable, and I understand that's the first choice, if it's not workable, I'm not sure how the process works in terms of how the residents will hear about that. Will there be another opportunity for us to talk about Crestridge, or I'm just not sure how that process works?
Can I have someone ask that? Can someone answer that question? It's a good question.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. If that was the case, the applicant would have to alter their proposal. We would then circulate it to agencies and departments for comments, and we would be looking to host another public meeting.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, please come forward again. You'll have to state your name and address again for record. Thanks.
Yeah, name is Andre, and I'm still at M. Crestridge. I just forgot one more thing. I've been talking about this problem for years, actually, to our counselor, and since that, this problem wasn't solved. And it looks like it's going to come up anyways if you start this development. I'm talking about the intersection King and Town Line. This intersection actually, even now, is life-threatening. Nobody who's going from north to south ever crosses this intersection on green. Mostly it's yellow or red. Simple solution would be just make this, just adjust the traffic lights. But if you put at least, as far as I understood, about a few hundred people there, so it's not going to be just a quarter cars. It's going to be around, I believe, at least 130, 150 cars every day going back and forth. So how are you guys going to solve this problem? I'd like council to consider this problem. Probably it's not a question to you directly, right? It's a question to the council. How are you guys going to solve this problem when you put another 500 people there?
Mr. Leverage?
It's for a record.
Yeah, thank you. I think, Mr. Leverage, you want to
comment? Yeah, through you, Mayor Thompson, it's a good question. So there are a number of traffic engineering, guidelines and policies that the town adheres to, and we request that our developers across the town, as they come forward with development applications, that they have to meet. And so for the issues or our concerns, and I think this gentleman's concerns around Caledon and King Town Line, those are the discussions that we've been having with this particular development about this specific access onto Caledon and King and the improvements that we think need to be made to that intersection to absolutely ensure that it's safe. And so as Mr. King stated earlier, we are going to the OMB at this point. We're still having discussions. We're still negotiating with the developer to find a solution that works for them and ensures that this intersection meets those guidelines and is safe.
Okay. Any further questions from the public? Please come forward, sir.
Good evening. My name is Kat Cebulski, and I live on Mount Hope Road, and my property actually backs onto Crestridge and touches the bottom left corner of the diagram there. Now, I apologize if I am asking a question that may have been answered in the presentation because I couldn't get here earlier. But I have a question about what I believe is block 14, which is just below the cul-de-sac there. I'm wondering what the intention is for that little block of land. Is that I had requested in the OPA discussions that be outside of the urban boundary in order to remain a buffer between my property and that development. I don't know if that can be answered tonight.
The part 14? Part 14.
Yeah, to the, I know that's not south, but to the bottom, that exactly. Yes.
Mr. King?
We're actually including that as part of lot one. When we went through the exercise of staking and surveying the property with the Conservation Authority, that particular area was identified as an area that had trees in it. And they asked that we stake the edge of those trees. And so that's what that jagged line is next to that house. That's the staking of the edge of those trees. The Conservation Authority did not want that land. So what we have done is we've included it into the lot. We would zone it separately, but we would include it in the lot. It is part of the settlement boundary.
Okay. Now, my concern, which I brought up the last time, was once it's in somebody's backyard, they could decide to cut all those trees down, and there goes the buffer. And that was why I specifically asked that it be outside of the settlement boundary so it would remain protected land, and it would have logically flowed down and connected with the rest of the TRCA property to the, again, that's not to the south, but to the bottom of that location. So I request that be rethought. And, you know, if some part of it needs to be included in that backyard to make that a reasonable backyard, I'm okay with that. But the majority of it should not be in a backyard. It should be protected and left as it is, not even a path through it. Now, I've got some other questions/comments. In the material, it said that in 2012 there was a notice of application and that it was sent out to the nearby residents, and I don't recall ever receiving that notice. And I don't know if there's a significance to that, if there was something I missed commenting on, or if now we're starting with kind of a clean slate and going forward.
Okay. Ms. McVitie, can you comment on that, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the notice of application was sent in 2012 for the draft plan of condominium and the draft plan of subdivision. It would have been circulated to all neighbors within 120 meters. So you should have received a copy of the notice. What that notice of application does is it basically lets the neighbors in the community know that we have received an application. So it wasn't a formal public meeting like we have tonight. It is more of a heads up for your information. Something has come in for a property near you, and this is what they're proposing to do.
Yeah, I found that notice when I was searching the website and checked my files, and then when I saw that the information for tonight said that it was sent out, I was a bit puzzled by it, because I would have come in and had a look at what was proposed. But anyway, that's in the past. Now, I just have some, I guess, observations or comments. There seems to be a lack of area for snow storage in the winter in this, and I'm wondering where that snow is going to go. And as we've seen from the past two winters, it can pile up. And this was something that was brought up the last time around, is it going to get pushed off the edge of the slope? Is it going to, you know, where is it going to go? It just doesn't seem to be room for it.
Mr. King? Sorry. Were you done?
I don't know if you want me to. I only have like four questions/comments. Do you want me to go through them all?
Sure. Okay, and then we'll try to address them. Thank you.
Okay. The parquet seems beyond token small, and I'm wondering about that block of land above the cul-de-sac. I know that was in the greenbelt boundary, and then it got developed into a running track without approval. And I'm wondering now that if it's, since it's already been developed to that point, why couldn't that be a neighborhood parquet? My other question is regarding trail connections to the TRCA property, both for this site and for the existing neighborhood. And I believe the TRCA has the same question about trail connections, whether there is going to be sort of an integration between the old and the new, whether the residents would be allowed to come through, use to get through the condominium development to the trails and use the parquet and other amenities so that it's more of an integrated neighborhood rather than something separate. And then my last question is we had asked if this could be a public review for the site plan so that we could keep a, you know, tabs on what's going on. And I'm wondering if there's still an option for that to be considered, that it be a public review for the site plan rather than strictly internal, and not doing that for the, I mean, all site plans, just for this one. And I'll sit down and let other people keep asking questions.
I can answer a couple
sure.
of them.
Thank you.
First, with respect to snow storage, this property will be going through site plan process, and normally as part of that process, we identify where snow storage is, and if there isn't a sufficient area, we create area by adjusting lots or adjusting roads or whatever the case may be. Secondly, with respect to the parkette, it is a condo, so a private condominium, so we've suggested an area and size of parkette. Again, that's part of the review process. If the town doesn't feel that's sufficient for this use, they can ask for more. But typically on condominiums, they're private, and if they determine that's sufficient, then that's what they use. We have had some requests with respect to access to the Conservation Authority lands through the property. I think those are still discussions we want to have with the municipality. The developer is concerned about liability issues associated with inviting the community into private property and how that might work. So I think that is still to be worked on with staff. But that's all part of the negotiation and discussions we're having with staff with respect to the board hearing and issues list.
All right. Any further questions? Yes.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, departmental representatives, Mr. King, and the rest of the community. I just wanted to go on record. My name is Lee Elliott of 72 Castelli Court. I wanted to echo the concerns of the other residents of the area about the access on Crestridge Drive and my opposition to that. I also do have a question about the access onto the Albion King Town Line. In the morning, the commute, and in the evening, the commute on that road is quite busy. Adding an additional 130 to 260 cars trying to make left-hand turns into that area will make that very difficult. I do understand that there is a review underway of the roadway and the system there, and I just wanted to make sure that that road system and the concerns of the vehicles entering that area are heard as well, and would like to know how they plan on regulating the traffic.
Mr. Loveridge, can you comment on that, or?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Again, the traffic is, we've been doing the traffic counts. We know what the traffic flow is on the Caledon King line. We know what the 85 percentile speed limits are on that. We have a number of proposals. At this point, the traffic and the speed limits are there do not warrant a traffic signal at that intersection. However, having said that, in order to ensure the safety of the people on the Caledon King and those that would be entering and exiting from this proposed community, we have been working with the developer to say that we would consider putting a traffic signal there. We will also look at adjusting the sight lines as part of the proposal, potentially reducing the speed limit coming up to that intersection so that people understand that there are traffic turning in and out, and possibly there may be a requirement for turning lanes as we go forward. So this town traffic engineering staff, which work for me, have spent a lot of time, as well as our consultants, on coming up with a proposal or a back to the developer on how we can make this intersection safe.
Okay. Any further questions? Yes.
Good evening. My name is Eva Molnar, 76 Castelli. Even though I am a street further from the Crestridge, I would like to, I'm not going to repeat all these concerns, but I fully agree with the concerns which were stated here before, and I would just like to add one more to it. If the access would be from the Crestridge side, the concern would be the playground, which is on Crestridge. And a lot of kids play there, and they cross the street back and forth. and the safety of the children would be definitely jeopardized there. So that's my main concern on top of the other ones.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other? Yes, please come forward.
Hi, my name is Pasquale Tartarici. I'm at 44 Crestridge Drive. I just have a question here regarding this emergency access. We're talking about, I don't understand. Is it really something that's necessary? And the reason why I bring this up is that because of the development that sort of happened in that area that we now live in, it sort of haphazardly happened that areas were eliminated and they weren't finished off. And right now there's about 150 homes, which is in our area, that have only one access point as well. So we don't have an emergency exit, and we've been doing fine without it. And I am against opening up that roadway. Thank you.
Mr. Loveridge.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. I think there's still some discussion needs to be had with that emergency access. My understanding is that it's the fire department that has requested that. It's not going to be their primary access, but I think that they need it in case that there's a situation which may require it. I don't even foresee, from my personal opinion, I don't foresee it as being an asphalt type access. It may be something that's more trail type oriented that will blend with the community. But it's an item that still needs to be discussed, and including the access and control and all that kind of stuff. So.
Okay. If you do, you have to come back up and ask the same question and introduce yourself again. I'm sorry for public record.
Pasquale Tartarici, 44 Crestridge Drive. Then the question goes out, why don't we have emergency access now in our community for 150 homes?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, that's a great question. I think that we would be best to take that away and come back with an answer. My guess is that the standards change and the people change, and that, you know, we try to look at each development on an individual basis.
Thank you. Any? Yes.
Hello, my name is Joe Spirichmino. I live on 5 Crestridge Drive. Sorry about my voice, it's gone. But I have a concern about school buses, right? Now, if we're saying that the entrance off of the town line is kind of a dangerous town line, could there be a concern at some point where they say this emergency road becomes school bus access for safety reasons, right?
Mr. Loveridge.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Great question. Yeah. We will only consider the access on Caledon King Line if it's safe for all traffic that would come in and out of that community. So when we're saying that our preference is for the Caledon King access, but it has to be safe, that means safe for everybody that uses it, motorcycles, school buses, cars. Delivery trucks. Everybody that enters and exits that community will be exiting and enter through an access that we consider to be safe by rules and regulations that exist to guide that.
Then would you say that if you make a decision that the access from the town line is the only access, at some point, if somebody petitions for safety reasons to use this for school buses, you would say no at that point, or would it be considered?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, we would never allow the access at Caledon King Line not to be a safe access. So I guess that's a reverse way of answering the question, but we will ensure from a town's perspective that the Caledon King Line exit or entrance there will be safe.
Okay. And another question I have, and I don't know if this is the appropriate place or time to question this, but I'm just trying to look at it objectively, and I'm new to the area. And, I mean, you have single detached homes here that end on a crescent or end on a dead end. And, I mean, just from, like, it seems obvious to me that it should be continued with single detached homes, and then you segregate and you put the condominium there. So you would think that that little crescent, instead of having three homes, would be completed. And then you would have the other. I mean, that would be my concern.
Mr. King.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the basis for only having the three houses is that on the other side of that cul-de-sac, there's a very large retaining wall, concrete retaining wall. This proposal intends on maintaining that retaining wall in its current form. So you couldn't put houses on the other side of that retaining wall. There's quite a drop on that side of the cul-de-sac.
Is it not feasible from an engineering point of view or a cost point of view to do that, to complete that crescent as detached homes so it looks like it has continuity? Are we talking engineering reasons why it can't be done or cost reasons why it can't
be
done?
Well, the only way to do that would be to fill that entire area beyond, on the other side of that retaining wall to create lots.
Yeah. But that's feasible. That's doable. There's a cost associated.
There's no real basis for it. I mean, it's simply to have houses on the other side.
I'm looking at it objectively. I mean, you got single detached homes ending on a crescent. Typically, you have single detached homes completing the crescent. I mean, that's the way I see it, right? I mean, if it's not that way, the only reason I would think it would be that way is because there's a cost reason associated with it, and you know, you're not really thinking about the residents on the crescent, you're thinking of the cost, right?
The townhouses don't have any access to the crescent. They're just buildings.
I understand that. I'm just stating a point.
Okay. Thank you.
Just a point of clarity, Sherry Broshi. I live in Bolton. Mr. Loveridge has spoken about it possibly could be a gravel accessibility. And when I spoke to the consultant, he told me it was going to be paved. So I just need some clarity on that, if you don't mind, please.
Mr. Loveridge.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. At this point, I think that's still an item for discussion, and it hasn't been settled at this point.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any further questions? Yes, please come forward.
Good evening. My name is Ross Monroe, 23 Crestridge. I also object opening up on a Crestridge, but if it is an access road for emergency vehicles, then that would mean in the wintertime you need some sort of plowing access to maintain that. So if it's a locked, like, how does that work?
Okay.
If it's a locked barrier, then, you know, the snow plows, how they're going to have to clear that access to maintain the emergency access as well.
Mr. Loveridge? We're making you work tonight.
It's through you, Mayor Thompson. Great comment. As part of operationalizing that, if it becomes an emergency access, that's something that the condominium development in the town will have to work out.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Antonio Judeo, 31 Crestridge. I just want to go on record to voice the same concerns as my neighbors and to say I'm against opening up Crestridge 4 through 8, you know, into the complex. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Yeah. Come on forward.
Squally Tortorici again, 44 Crestridge Drive. Just had a quick question. If that is an emergency access, is the curb going to be shaved down or not?
Can either. Or is that premature yet?
The reason why I'm asking the question is that in previous discussions with the fire department, it was stated by them, I mean, you can ask them yourselves, that the curb didn't need to be shaved down. That the fire truck can actually climb the curb and access that route freely.
Okay.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. We'll take that away as a question.
Okay. Any further questions?
Deirdre Morrison Mohammed from 37 Crestridge Drive. Mayor Thompson, I'd like to request that, in fact, another PIM be held as things. There's a lot of questions that have not truly been answered. as it relates to this development moving forward. And our concern is that we would be left out of that. So I do ask that a public information meeting is called when things have become more, before they become more solidified.
Ms. Blakely, I think it's a very good question, but when it's at a board, it kind of changes things, doesn't it?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, it does. We are holding this public information meeting to certainly give residents the opportunity to express the comments and concerns that they have here tonight, of which we'll be taking back and working through with the applicant. If council wishes to direct us to have another public information meeting, we can do so. It wouldn't be a statutory public meeting under the Planning Act. Our hearing date is scheduled for the end of July, so we would need to have a second public meeting prior to that.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the clarification, and thank you for your direction, and we'll see where that goes.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Any further questions from the public? Any further questions? Okay. I'm going to... Oh, yes. Come forward.
Lucy Nicora from...
Can you just pull the mic?
Yeah. Okay. Lucy Nicora, 33 Crestridge, and I just want to be on record for opposing opening Crestridge.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Andre, 10 Crestridge. I just realized we lived at 10 Crestridge, at Crestridge Drive for more than 10 years. And I believe it was, 10 years. And we didn't feel a need in some emergency exit to this side, actually. I'm just wondering, why would we need it now? I just see only one reason for this, to make this road one day through road. Could you comment on this, please? Mr. King?
I think I'm going to get Mr. Loveridge to explain that one a little bit. I think it's...
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I think all as I can state, too, is that there's no intent to do that. The town holds a one-foot reserve at the end of the cul-de-sac. That reserve can only be lifted by council. So even if staff had intended or staff had a proposal to do that, that proposal would have to come back to this council and be voted on to lift that reserve and to open it up. And I would think at that point, if there was ever that intent, and there's not at this point, there would be a lot of community consultation and input prior to any such decision. Does that answer?
Not really.
Okay, so I'm saying, can I reword that,
yep.
Mayor?
No, I mean, I understood everything what you said.
No, I'm saying
but it's not
no
a clear
intent,
answer.
There's no intent or no plan to open up access from that community to Crestridge at this point. And at this point, there is a one-foot reserve. So that means that there is a blocked piece of land that blocks access between that community and Crestridge that can only be lifted by this council.
All right, anyways, thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? There's no further questions at this point. I will now go to council for questions on points of clarification to the reports. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I have a few questions. Ms. Cybulski asked a question. I don't know that it was answered. It was related to the site plan and whether it could be a public process. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't believe it was addressed.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Mezzapelli. Council could request that the applicant hold a residence meeting with the community with respect to the site plan. Site plans are not a public process under the Planning Act, but council could request that the applicant hold a residence meeting.
Okay. Second question I have is there was a lot of discussion. A lot of this stems and revolves around the Crestridge and the emergency access and whether that could be opened up to a full access. And just looking at the site plan, and I look at the dimensions of that road, and I compare it to the dimensions of a municipal road, conceivably, could that ever even become a municipally owned road to meet our standards?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I think the simple answer to that is no. It does not meet the municipal road standard. And the second part of that is that the town will not own any of the roads on the interior of this community. This is a private condominium and development. That road is a that emergency access is a private on private land, and it's there from the perspective of providing increased safety to that condominium community. And in fact, all of the roads that are in that development, including the access out onto Caledon King Line, will be owned, is private land, and is owned by the condominium development themselves.
Thank you. Ms. Briolski asked about the fire trucks and dimensions, and I will say I don't know specifically the dimensions, but fire would comment as far as turning radiuses to get in and around that subdivision. Would that not be correct?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, that's correct. And on top of that, the traffic engineering department or division within my department also reviews that to ensure that all roads in all our communities meet the minimum access requirements for emergency vehicles.
Okay. The last question I had, and it was touched upon, and I don't know what the difference is from a condominium arrangement site plan as opposed to one that's to be municipally assumed. But when I look at the site plan, the parkette seems quite small. Is there a differentiation on the town side, what we require for parkland dedication in a private condominium site plan as opposed to one that's to be municipally assumed?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, the short answer is no. There is no difference between condominium and a plan of subdivision. It's still 5% for residential that is required. The parkette that they're proposing, our Parks and Recreation as well as our landscape staff have both reviewed it, and they're satisfied with the size of the parkette at this time. Cash in lieu of parkland will also be paid by the developer as a condition of draft approval.
Okay, so to be clear, does that area meet the 5%, or is there a deficit that's made up by cash in lieu?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, there will be a deficit that will be made up by cash in lieu of parkland.
Okay. Do we know what the deficit is as far as percentage?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I don't have that information with me, but I can look into that.
Okay. I'd just like to know, you know, what the deficiency is as far as size. That's it for myself.
Thank you.
Mayor Thompson.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just some points of clarification. Ms. Cebulski asked about Block 14 and the trees and that. When we, there could be a covenant that's put in place to protect where the trees are and where you are. We did that as part of the other subdivision further to the south on the Montessori property with Camp Villa. And we put that covenant in place. It's a legal binding restricted covenant that you could put in place to protect that buffer. So that's certainly something that could be done through legal.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, if I could just add something to that. You're absolutely correct. And the town has requested that through the zoning bylaw, we also identify those lands as being protected. So we're looking to establish what's called a structure envelope, which is used in the Palgrave Estates area. And what that would allow would be the protection of the trees. It would also be registered on title. So mm-hmm. It's through the zoning bylaw in addition to being on title.
Right. Okay. With regards to, there was a question brought up about the access points. That subdivision does have two access. Forest Gate is one of the access, and Mount Hope is the second access. So those are the two access to the entire subdivision when that subdivision was built. That was the other. With regards to the emergency access, when we closed off that for Crest Ridge, fire was at the table. All of those things were addressed. Fire felt that it was sufficient. Fire does not have to shave down the curb. They felt that the trucks could climb the curb and they can get over the curb safely. They also have a lockbox on there, so they've got the special key that they use to open that box to get in there. That was a discussion when the school was there, and fire, we were concerned that if something happened in the school and the other access was blocked, fire could get in there. So they were at the table when we were looking at this, and they're pretty satisfied with that access. Snow clearing was mentioned. That was also brought up when we looked at putting that 1 foot reserve and closing that access off. So I think fire was pretty satisfied at that point. Otherwise, we wouldn't have closed it. I think that's basically all of the clarification points I wanted to make. I know I can't comment, and I think that the residents, we've heard the comments from the residents with their concerns. With regards to the community meeting, one last one, it is not unusual to have a community meeting, not a formal public information meeting. We've done it before in the past, so the precedent has been set where we can establish a community meeting, not a formal PIM like we're doing today. So we certainly can do that as a council, so that most of your questions, some of the questions that haven't been addressed, can be addressed through that process. And I think at that point, the site plan would be further along, and those questions will be addressed in there.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A question for Mr. King. Mr. King, is there any way we can add more parking to this development? We were at the mayor's breakfast this morning in our roundtable discussion. Parking was brought up as a major issue within the town of Caledon, not just within our village and hamlets, but actually within our larger towns. And so because of that discussion this morning, I'm looking at this and saying, do we have the ability? I'm not supposed to give a comment. Do we have, that's tough for me, sorry. The designer in me, sorry. Do we have the ability to add more parking? So, because we don't want cars lining the streets, blocking emergency vehicles. Do we have the ability to add more parking? Thank you.
What I can say to that is we have space to add more parking. We have the access road into the site. We have a more than 20 meter width on that access road, and we could quite easily add additional private parking along that road or along that access road without impacting the condominium proposal as it currently is. So maybe that's a discussion I need to have with staff in terms of whether they want to have more in the location of that parking space.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson. Sorry, I think we're all suffering from the same cold today. Mr. King, I'm wondering, my question really is, I know you don't have a builder assigned, but moving forward, would there be consideration to align this community with something more in keeping to an older adult community? Sometimes when we move in that direction, a lot of the traffic concerns become mitigated with peak times and things like that when you're dealing with a neighborhood of residents that are mainly retired and not traveling on, you know, during rush hour traffic and things like that.
Good question.
The short answer is yes. We do have the ability to do that because it is a condominium, and the only thing that is part of the condominium corporation is the road parking and things of that nature. The blocks are not created.
the blocks can be created and configured in any form onto that condominium road. So if, for example, the 6-meter, the 20-foot townhouses aren't saleable, or we have a builder that comes to us and says, we want to do something more than that, we want to do 30-footers or something like that, that we can build bungalows or something on, that can be accommodated within the plan as it currently is.
Okay. All right. You done, Councillor Downey? Thank you. All right. Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'm going to touch base and echo some of the sentiments made by Councillor Shaughnessy with regards to the parking. How many cars can park in these driveways, and how many car garages are per unit?
The way it's currently configured, they would be single car garages with one other parking space on the lot, so it would be 2 spaces per unit, plus the additional 33 visitor parking spaces.
Okay. So, you know, the parking is a concern, and we've seen it in other communities that have similar style development, and with parking concerns, you have 2 persons living in one house, that equals 2 cars, most people don't park in the garage. Where does that other person park? And it would be good if we could consider additional parking in this area, knowing that we are trying to summon young families to move here, as well as seniors. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Groves. Thank you, Councillor Innes.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Mr. Loveridge. Just to go back on the restricted covenant, enforcement becomes a problem. And even though it's on title, how does the town plan on enforcing this? Let's say you've got that restricted covenant in place, it's registered on title, somebody decides to go and cut down the trees. How do you enforce that?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, most of the issues, Councillor, that we deal with are complaint-based, and so, I mean, we have that. It would be on title. If someone chose to cut those trees down and we received a complaint to that effect, we would do an investigation, and we would proceed legally from that point. And the person that did that may be required to replace those trees.
But the onus wouldn't be on the property owner, let's say, on the other side to take it through a legal process.
No, it would be come to the town.
Good. Okay.
Okay. Okay. You then, Councillor Groves? Councillor Mizzapelli?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I have one follow-up question. The proposal for this site plan would to not permit any parking on the internal roads. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And then I guess my follow-up question is to staff is, and I don't know the exact dimensions, excuse me, but I suspect that it is narrow enough that if there were to be a car parked on the street, that would be an issue for emergency services. Is there a way to, through the conditions of sale, where that is clearly illustrated, like in my subdivision, the worst that could happen is you could just get a ticket, but a fire truck could get around you. This could have an impact. What mechanisms does the town have from a bylaw enforcement perspective and a, I guess, from the planning section to give the residents the assurance that their means to emergency access or services is unencumbered?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Mizzapelli. So when the town reviewed the latest submission by the applicant, the town echoed the parking concerns. So we did raise those concerns to the applicant. We did ask for additional parking spaces to be provided on site. We did look at the width of the private condo road that they are proposing, and we did identify that there would not be on-street parking permitted because of emergency access. So there are a couple of things that we have noted in our comments and requested the applicant to do. One is that when the condominium declaration is registered, we are asking that a clause be inserted in that states that on-street parking is prohibited. so that when the new owners purchase into that condo, they are made aware of that. The other is a purchase and sale agreement. So we're asking for the same clause to be indicated on the purchase and sale agreement. So there's two mechanisms that we have to try and help us make homeowners aware that there is no parking on street. The other is we have a sales office plan. So for all of these new developments, we have a sales office plan. It identifies land uses, etc. As part of that, it shows parking. So we will be indicating that there will be no on-street parking. We'll be indicating the visitor parking locations to try and assist buyers in understanding that there is limited parking available. But we have asked for additional parking spaces to be provided on site.
Okay, and thank you. The other mechanism is the enforcement side. Does the town have the right to exercise parking enforcement on private lands?
That's through you, Mayor Thompson. Yes, we do.
Okay.
So, for example, fire lanes on shopping centers, we enforce those. Okay. We would have the same. If there was parking restrictions in this area, we would have the ability to enforce that.
And does that include the right to tow?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I'm not sure, but I would sure like to. Just kidding. Could I get back to you on it? I apologize.
So. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Councillor Misipelli. Councillor Shaughnessy, you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To our staff here on the parking issue, people I find are very creative. And when there's no parking on certain streets, then they will overflow to the streets that have parking on them. So I'd like to know whether Crestview and the other streets actually have parking allowed on the street.
Mr. Leverage.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I'm not 100% sure. I understand that there's parking at least on one side of Crestridge. I'm not sure if it's wide enough to allow for both sides. Again, a lot of the streets and roads in the town of Caledon, we don't address the parking issues either side of the road until there's a complaint, and then based on complaint base, then we go into a study to say where can parking happen on this street. So I'm not sure. I'm sure the people on Crestridge could probably tell me better. They live there, but I have not investigated at this point the parking on Crestridge.
Thank you. So my caution would be to staff would be that to not allow a condominium to have an influence on the existing community and to impose on those people living there to all of a sudden have their streets invaded by the overflow parking, because we know people will find, if they figure out that there's a place to park and it's not in the condominium, then we know they'll go to the other street. So we have to bear this in mind. Thank you.
You just asked that as a question. Is that
I'm
possible?
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm just trying to cover off for you. We're at a board here. Keep it in mind. Okay, that works.
Keep it in mind.
Well,
thank
works.
You.
So that is the questions for council, except I have one. Mr. King, if you could please bring up the full site from King Road with your plan of subdivision. You had one other picture there. If you could bring it back from the road coming in. Yeah, that works.
Okay.
And actually, my question is maybe more to Mr. Loveridge. Due to the size of this road infrastructure, how can this ever be affordable for a condominium to keep the upkeep of this road? This tells me the town's going to own this at some point. And if we know that, should we be looking at that as a possible town road, respectfully that it's a condominium or not? And if so, then the road needs to be at a road standard, correct?
Mayor Thompson, so we have a set of standards that we use as the minimums within any development. Right. But if the proponent or the appellant or the person that's coming forward wants to make it a private condominium, then they know they're doing that usually for a number of reasons. So at this point, the road, the interior roads within this community meet our minimum requirements. With the parking restrictions that have been applied to it, the road is of sufficient width for it to meet our the requirements as a road within our community. I can't imagine a situation where we would be taking over a private condominium road from the town's perspective.
And there's some northern municipalities, just north of us here, that are having that challenge with condominiums that are finding they can't afford their road upkeep. And all I'm just saying is, are we inheriting something, and is this something that we need to have a discussion with the developer, respectfully that he's doing it, but... I'm sorry, I've been at this for about 12 years now, and this is just looks like something this could come back to bite us.
What I can say to you, Mayor Thompson, is on all of the private condominium developments that the town has been involved in, they follow the same process as a regular development does. They have to meet the same minimum standards that are in the engineering standards for that development as if we would assume it. In some cases, developers haven't met the standards. As the town, we've held that developer's feet to the fire on behalf of the residents of the condominium to ensure that it is met. But once the development is complete and the condominium's done, the condominium themselves is responsible for the upkeep of those assets, the normal assets that the town would take, but the assets that they own within the condo.
Well, as you know, what we've gone through with asset management, so I guess I'm turning it back to Mr. King, is have you factored in what the costs are going to be for upkeep and stuff like this for the condo corporation that will eventually take this on? Because that's a huge expense, is this road.
Well, we wouldn't have done that at this point in time, obviously. The only thing I can say to that is I think over the years the Condominium Act has been strengthened to deal with issues like this. There have been circumstances in the past where condominium corporations have not put enough funds away for the upkeep and maintenance of their property, and there have been issues in the past. It's my understanding that the Condominium Corporation or the Condominium Act is much stronger now, and the reserve requirements are much more specific to the ongoing maintenance and operation of that condominium corporation. And so if it means higher fees, it means higher fees for them. That's the only answer I can give right now, because we don't know. The only deceiving thing, I think, with respect to the drawings is that the large gray swath of land is not pavement. It's just that's the width of the swath of land that we're taking. The road is actually much smaller than that.
Okay. Is there leverage? No, it's just as a question. I think we just need to have it on public record on that concern.
Again, Mayor Thompson, we have dealt with this on a number of occasions over the last few years. Again, we hold the developer responsible for that infrastructure right up until the point of it's completed and it's assumed by the condo corp itself.
Okay. Is there any further? I'm going to, just because this is a contentious issue, we don't normally do this, but before I call this meeting, is there any further questions from the public? Okay, we got a couple. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. All right, come on ahead. But I just know, just because of the nature of this thing, I'm going to... the clerk will beat me later.
Colin Federick, 5 Kings 8. Assuming this is younger families, you got 200, 300 kids in there now. Because it's a private road, do the kids have to walk out and wait on King Albion? Or does the bus come in there and can the bus go around there? Or buses, I should say, minibuses.
Yeah. Mr. Leverage, can you answer that question? Pretty much a bus has to come in.
I'm not sure, Mayor Thompson, but we can take that away and approach Stopper and ask them. I'm not sure if they go into private developments or not.
Okay. Mr. King, did you want to comment on that?
I'm not sure as well whether they'll go into the development, but the site has been designed with the curves and radiuses to accommodate buses and fire vehicles.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Yes, sir.
George Sturrock, 59 Crest Ridge. Sorry, just trying to formulate my question here.
as I understand it, I've only been living on Crestridge for a couple of years, but as I understand it, this has been going on. The plans have changed for about 5 years. And the commonality is that the entrance to the new subdivision that's planned, the condominium, has always been on the King Vaughan Road. And what I've heard a few times is we will take time and make sure that the entrance is feasible and safe. And my question is, if you haven't done it in 5 years, what needs to still happen to make that decision?
Go ahead.
Is he still within the mic range? He doesn't have to say his name and address again.
No, he did. He's good.
I'm sorry.
George Sturk, 59 Crestwood.
Still. I'm not sure I understand the question. Are you asking me what needs to be done to make the intersection safe or why it hasn't been done to date?
Yes, since it was always a critical component of the whole subdivision, why is it still a question?
Okay, I'll answer the question.
Maybe it's a lot more complicated than...
No, I'll answer the question the way I think I understand it. So to this point, the issue of the intersection at Caledon King Line has not been an issue to date because the town has not received a development application where the town would have to review the application and take a look at what the access would look like. So prior to this, there was a school there that had sort of, I would call it grandfathered rights to use that intersection. They never came forward with a development application where the town would have to look at it to say, was that intersection safe? Now that development is occurring and the developer has to come to the town with a development application, we now force that developer through a bunch of studies, reviews, and when I mean a bunch, I mean a bunch. And one of those studies is how will you access that community, and now we're taking a look at the Caledon King access in detail, and we're looking at what does a developer have to do to make that safe.
And how long do you anticipate the process to be?
You can ask the developer that is how long he wants to argue with the town about it.
Okay. I guess my concern is if it falls through and it's deemed not safe, will this reopen the Crestridge opening issue again, which is I think why most people are here.
Yeah. Mr. Loveridge, did you hear the question?
I heard the question, Your Honor. I'm maintaining the position there is no intention at this point in time to have any access but that on Caledon King Town Line. The developer wants to use Caledon King Town Line. The town's preference is for the developer to use that access as long as it's made safe.
Okay, so I guess what I'd like to do is echo everybody that said that before me, and that is that I oppose that. I think most people moved into that community that did move into the community have small children, and they want to make sure that they're safe and are opposed to all the things that the increased traffic would bring. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Kat Cebulski, still on Mount Hope Road. Two questions and a comment. The three single-family homes, are they going to be part of the condo corporation, or are they different because they're fronting on Crestridge?
Mr. King? They're not proposed to be part of the condo.
My other question is, my understanding of why this is a condo development is because the access road does not meet town standards. And if it did, then there wouldn't need to be a condo corporation. That's what I remember from 4 or some years ago. So I'm puzzled by the comment that it has to meet town standards, even if it's a condo development, before it can be approved.
Ms. McVitie.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. When condominiums come in, they usually have a narrower road width proposed. So where we would normally require a wider road width for a municipal right-of-way, private condominiums, their road width is 6 meters. So it's just a narrower road.
So the right-of-way that's there could be a town standard road or a town-owned road if the choice was to make the paved surface wider within that right-of-way?
That's correct. So there's enough right-of-way area there that it could be made into a town road. However, the road within the condo development itself, the one that goes around, meets the minimum width requirement for the condominium.
So what's within the development does not meet town standards to be a town-assumed road or a non-condo development?
So that's correct.
Okay.
We would insist on a wider right-of-way if that was going to be a town road within the development itself.
Okay. And perhaps my memory is not clear, but I thought that the road in needed a lot of work in order for this not to be a condo development, and that's why it's going that direction. But now to my comment regarding the covenant on a portion of a lot that would prevent the landowner from altering the landscape. I'm familiar with those. I'm familiar with structural envelopes. I'm also familiar with those not being or being disregarded. And once the trees are cut down, they're gone. Even if the trees are replanted, now you're starting from scratch. Instead of full mature trees and a naturalized forest, now you're starting from nothing. There's other ways that the trees can be damaged. People will start altering the grade, lowering the grade, lifting the grade because they want something different there. They'll start clearing all the vegetation out underneath. All of a sudden, it's not what it was at the beginning. So if that's within a private lot, covenant or no covenant, it's not going to work. It's got to be outside of somebody's private property, and it's got to be somehow some kind of public property, and it's got to be left natural. So it goes back to my original request is it should be outside of somebody's private lot and long-term buffer against my property. The only one little thing I ever asked for myself in all this stuff. Otherwise, I supported this finally going to some sort of a productive use and not just sitting there vacant for years.
Thank you. Mr. Loveridge?
Assure you, Mayor Thompson, discussions with staff. I think that's something we can take away and have a separate discussion about to see if there's an alternative way or an innovative way to protect that. It won't affect the developer, I don't think, in any way, but if we could take that as a takeaway, if that's all right.
Okay. Yes, there's a lady at the back who would like to speak.
It's Eva Molnar again from 76 Castelli. I brought a question of the kids and the playground. And knowing this development will probably house young families, that will add probably 300 children to the community. So my question is, will there be additional playground in that area? Will that be in the area of these townhouses? Or will there be enlargement of the existing playground, which is pretty tiny right now?
Mr. King?
Short answer is I don't know. I'm not sure where the number 300 would come from. What we've assumed is that this area will require at least a parkette to satisfy the junior needs of this development. The development is still part of the community and would have access to other public spaces. It was designated for development, so it was known that it was going to be residential development when parks were designed and allocated. I don't know if the town thinks that this will increase the need for parkland elsewhere, and I guess that's maybe part of sort of the master planning park process that the town goes through.
Okay. Any further questions? Yes, sir.
Hi. Lee Elliott, 72 Castelli Court. Thank you for opening this up for more questions, Mr. Mayor. My question is, where will the services that are going to be utilized for this site originate? Is it going to be coming from Crestridge in the Crestridge area and this part of the community? And what will that additional strain of this residential area on those services be? Will we have decreased water pressure and increased sewage backup, for example? Thank you.
Good questions. Mr. King, do you want to comment on that?
I'm not certainly the engineer to this, but as part, obviously, of the development process, we're required to complete engineering studies, including sewer and water capacity, and we have already received some comments with respect to the capacity of those. Certainly, Mr. Lovridge would make sure that the site is fully developable and the services are available prior to clearing his conditions and allowing any development to happen. I don't know any specifics with respect to water pressure or sanitary capacity.
Maybe I can jump in as Chair of Public Works at the Region Appeal for the last number of years. I can tell you no development can have an impact on dropping water pressure or sewer backup. That is a prerequisite by the Region Appeal. They're very conservative on that. So I'll answer the question. Any other further questions? If not, it's at 8:30. I deem the meeting adjourned. And just so we can clear the room, just before we start the next meeting, we'll start in 10 minutes, if that's okay with everybody. So if you want to stretch your legs, and we'll start the next meeting in 10 minutes. Is that okay?
It's identified in red, and just to identify that the existing zoning of the property is still agricultural. This is our proposed site plan. Again, it's been submitted to the town and gone through one round of comments and circulation. And the elements of the plan are relatively simple. The site's designed such that the building, we've identified the building on the corner, and it's done that way initially as part of a council request when dealing with this property and the property to the north. The request was to move that building as close to the road as possible, have the main entrances to the units would actually be from the north side of the building, with the south facade and the east facade being more ceremonial. They'll still look like stores, but they're in fact sort of the rear of the building. The purpose of that is that so that when the property to the north comes on stream, this site can essentially be flipped and reflected on the north side, so we would end up with sort of an internal parking lot with buildings on the south side and the north side. And so that's the rationale in terms of why we've got a building in this location. Currently, the proposal is for approximately 15,000 to 16,000 square feet. That's divided by about 10,000 square feet on the ground floor in traditional units, and about 5,000 square feet on a second level. The second level is identified in the darker hatching, or the darker tone on this plan, and it's central to the building. Previous proposals, we had included the second story sort of anchoring the end of the building. When we've got a new architect on stream with this application, and when he looked at it, he thought it would be more balanced to have the property with the central portion as the second story. Access to the site is from the main access to the site, full move access is off Harvest Moon, essentially at the western end of the site. We've also submitted a traffic report to the region, and we've discussed with the region access to Coleraine, and they've agreed that we could have a right out access from the site. Initially, the region's position was that there was not any access permitted onto Coleraine, that the access point didn't meet their criteria in terms of setback from an intersection of Harvest Moon and Coleraine. There was some concern, however, expressed by the developer and supported by the town's fire department that without that access, we would have basically a dead-end parking lot, and it would make it difficult for people that got to the end to maneuver to get out of the property without that effectively a relief
valve. The region has suggested that when constructed, it be monitored for a period of 5 years to see if there are any issues with that right-out access. They've also suggested that when the property to the north develops, that this access be closed and potentially that access from Coleraine be moved farther north away from the intersection to prevent any conflicts. The other elements of the site plan that we've done is we have internalized garbage. One of the challenges with the first application and site plan we submitted was to find a place for garbage storage. We had looked externally in a couple of locations in separate buildings, but the trend these days in terms of commercial is to internalize that garbage in a garbage room. It's out of sight, it can be controlled, everybody has access to it, and all we really need is access from a loading or delivery space to that overhead door or that space, and it simply is dumped into a truck from there. So we've managed to achieve that. The other elements to the site is we've shown a pedestrian connection to Harvest Moon that circles the building. We have a pedestrian connection to Coleraine Drive, and again, we have a walkway system that circles the building. We had initially had discussions with the region with respect to an access to the corner of Coleraine and Harvest Moon. However, in our recent submission, in their review, they've come back to us and said that it would be their preference not to have that access. There is a grade differential, and to have that access, we would require stairs and handrails for that access, and it would be in the regional daylight triangle. And so they're saying they don't support landscaping or any of those facilities in their daylight triangle. And then, of course, it's a maintenance and liability matter for them as well. The other element to the site is, in terms of design, as I mentioned, we have internal access to the site from the north side of the building. Most units would be through units. We have left the opportunity on the two end units to have those units split so that they could have access to the south side of the building. It's something that we came across in some other developments that worked, and it would allow for sort of a more ceremonial entrance onto Harvest Moon, so it's not simply the back end of a building. So we're providing for an access at this location, potentially with a patio area that we're identifying. We've also identified sort of patio area in this location. They may not necessarily happen, but we thought it would be important to include those in the site plan at this point in time. We recognize that the property to the north will be part of the submission at some point in time, and we have purposely looked at the development up here at various other times, and right now we're proposing that access to that property would probably be from the east and west side of the parking lot. We've left sort of empty unlandscaped areas in these locations where driveway access could be punched through to that north property. And those are really the only items that I'll just go through the remainder. This is simply an elevation of the building. So this is the front of the building that's proposed for the main access to the site. The other element that we had to address in part of the site plan was noise, and the mechanical equipment for this building is proposed to be on the roof. We have, however, mitigated noise for the site through the increased height of the parapet walls on the building. So I think the minimum height of the parapets on this building are 5 feet, and that way the noise is contained for those external units. And then finally, we've proposed a list of uses in our zoning bylaw, and so I've identified what those uses are that we've put to planning staff. Typical neighborhood commercial uses. They've been reviewed once. The town made some suggestions with respect to eliminating some. I think we've eliminated others on our own accord in terms of like a video outlet or a video store we've taken out of the mix. But these are sort of a standard list of uses that you typically find in a neighborhood commercial building. So that's what we're proposing for the site. And again, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any members of the public that wish to come forward? If so, please state your name and your address for public record.
Sherry Baroshi, 29 Fountain Bridge Drive. I have a big concern over this plaza. When was this put into our official plan as a commercial site?
Sorry. I'm not sure the exact date. It was part of the original Bolton Northwest secondary plan, so 20 years probably, close to now.
So 20 years ago, the town of Caledon was not aware of the GTA West Corridor. And the GTA West Corridor is now going to be connected into the bar. This is going to be a major traffic route for trucks. And we want to put a plaza right on the corner. I think we need to really, really, really look at what's going on here. The GTA West Corridor is a prime highway for goods and movement, and that's trucks. And those trucks will be using the bar. That's why that bar is being built, or almost built. So having a plaza right here, I do have some grave concerns. I do also have another couple of concerns. One is the houses that are already there. So the Harvest Moon subdivision, the people that back out onto Frank Johnson, and then you're telling me that the north property, the northwest property, also will become part of the commercial, and then those guys. So now they're not just dealing with the noise of traffic that's coming on the bar. Now they're going to be hearing trucks and garbage cans right in their backyard. So again, I'm just going to throw this out there. I do not support this application at all based on that. Those poor people, this is a wrong place for a plaza on the corner. It should have never been entertained. And I understand why it was entertained, because at the time we didn't know about the GTA West Corridor. So I don't support this at all. Sorry.
Okay. Any other questions?
Madalena Salatino, I live across 17 Harvest Moon. My main concern, even without the plaza there, is the traffic on Harvest Moon. It's insane. Right now, there's no traffic calming devices coming off of Coleraine. And now you want to add a plaza where the main egress is Harvest Moon. Insane. And also, he mentioned patios. If this does go through and you have restaurants with patios, how is that going to be enforced? Do you guys have noise officers?
Mr. Loveridge?
Boulevard Cafe officers?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, so yes, we have bylaw enforcement officers. We have people that come out. It's complaint-based. We try and work with the community to ensure both the commercial and the residential community to make sure that they live together and work together. But your point's well taken.
Traffic calming devices, if this does go through. There are calming devices on the other side of Harvest Moon going on to King. Will there be traffic calming devices coming off of Coleraine?
Okay, good questions.
Will the noise be monitored with the HVAC systems on the roof of these plazas? Are there officers to do that?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. So any resident or commercial business doesn't have the right to disturb the enjoyment of the property of their neighbors. For things like units, and I think Mr. King's already stated what they're planning to do to try and make sure that the units don't exceed the guidelines that are out there. So there are MOE guidelines for noise, which they would have to meet, and they would have to prove that their development would not exceed those noise guidelines.
Okay. Thank you for now.
Very welcome. Any further questions? Oh, sorry, Stephanie. My apologies.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I'd just like to add that as part of the site plan and the rezoning, the applicant did submit a noise report. The noise report did recommend increasing the height of the parapets to reduce the noise of the HVAC systems and all those units on top of the building. The noise report that the applicant submitted did not recommend any noise walls or fences surrounding the site. The town did a peer review of that noise report, and it has come back with measurements for the parapet, which they will meet, as well as a 2-meter noise fence. And it says it's a light fence, so it would be something similar to wood that would run along both lot lines that are adjacent to residential uses. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay. Yeah. Next.
My name is Murray Stewart. I'm the guy who has been making the noise back in that corner. I've been sharing your colds. I live at number 4 Bateman Lane on the east side of town after having lived on this corner that is in discussion tonight, and being a close personal friend of the Macris who live in the property that Paul has explained to the north. In general, the Macris don't oppose this development. They have a couple of, or some concerns, and we have met with Paul King and discussed those. They are the need for an easement so that the property to the north isn't frozen, and a reciprocal easement that would happen at the time that the north property was developed. We talked about the fencing, the privacy fence, and if the fence is similar to the fence that is already on the north side of the north property, then the Macris would be happy with that. As far as the exit onto Coleraine Drive is concerned, we appreciate that from an emergency point of view, it is wise to have that available. Our concern is the distance that the island would be moved north. As you work on the safety of that turn so that Mr. and Mrs. Macri can turn safely into their existing lane. So we have to pay attention to that. We're wondering about where the pile of snow would go if we had another winter like this one, and where it would be appropriate or how it would be appropriate to handle the snow. So those are our concerns. I, on behalf of the Macris, have no doubt but what they can be dealt with, and we would leave it at that and sharing those concerns.
Thank you. Any questions from staff? All good. Any other further questions?
Colleen Hughes. I live at 53 Frank Johnston. So I echo the woman's comments about the traffic. When you turn left off Coleraine onto Harvest Moon, although on the site plan it shows like it looks big, it's not really that big. It's a nightmare right now. I understand that there was a traffic study done. I live it every day. And turning left is a nightmare there. And if I'm going to turn left and have to come to a complete stop because somebody's turning out of the plaza or into the plaza, it's also a bus route for the school buses. So there's a lot of traffic going back and forth. So I don't know what the traffic study said, but I know I live it. The comment that I want to make is, I'm not sure why we would allow a retail plaza to be built on this corner when there is a ton of vacant retail space within town, right? Retail office. Why can't they use that? And my fear is that this will get built, it'll sit empty because we have tons of empty retail space already. So those are my comments.
Thank you.
Frank Johnson, Stuart Curtis. Yeah, I agree with all of them about the turning onto the street there. It is a bad street to drive on. It's not safe at the best of times. The vehicles coming southbound, they're hard to see until you're almost committed to the turn. It can be a bit interesting at times. And if you got to stop dead before you make that turn because people are backing up, it could be a safety issue. The other thing I'm thinking of as well is that street, that area is kind of like, it's not supposed to be a through street. Adding that on there is going to lend it to be more of a through street because you're going to have Joe, whoever, deciding when he's driving north or west, he's going to duck into that plaza to get a pack of smokes or something, and he's not going to necessarily turn back out. He's going to go through that street. It's going to increase traffic through there, right past a Catholic school, right past a quiet, calming neighborhood. And so I think right now it's already that it's a badly designed intersection because westbound traffic from King now goes straight through there all the time. When it's rush hour traffic, it's rush hour right through that little neighborhood. This is going to increase it. Plus, like I said, during certain times of the day, it's going to back up. It's going to back up severely. We all know this, you know, the guy has a right to put something there, it's his property, and he can make some money or whatever, but that, it looks to me like this little property that's too small already, that was sort of the, you know, what the word on the street was, that they can't do anything with it because it's too small, then now somebody's come up with something creative to put this intersection, or that entrance there, to try to make something good out of something that really shouldn't be there in the first place. I mean, put something there, great, but I think you need to rework where that intersect, sort of in street, the driveway is going to be. It's not in a good spot, and I think it's a safety thing, for sure, a safety thing, because like you say, it's too close. The regional people say it's too close for having an out-in-out thing on Coleraine. Well, it's the same thing, and it's not much further. It might even be closer to that intersection on Harvest Moon. It's just maybe a different government body is deciding on this. It's not safer. They need to do a rethink on this design to come up with something better, or perhaps be patient and wait for the gentleman to the north to sell and maybe come up with something that, you know, could work on both. I mean, that was my understanding when I moved in that house years ago, that you couldn't do anything with it until both properties were available. Seems like somebody's just trying to get a little creative right now, and at the risk of safety, at the risk of putting a driveway in the wrong spot. And like I said, I'd like to add what they say there. It's just going to be a nightmare turning in there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sherry Broshi, 29 Fountain Bridge Drive. Has any of you guys drove down Highway 50, made a right-hand turn on McEwen where the TD Bank is, McDonald's, and now the hotel? Do you have any idea how bad it is? We won't even talk about Allen Drive, but Rob, like, this is going to be a nightmare. This is a truck route. Why? Here, I'm just going to throw this out. We don't have one. The town of Caledon, I've never seen one, but I'm going to throw this idea out there. The town of Caledon should have bought this land and created a beautiful flower gazebo, welcome to Caledon, because we don't have them. Brampton's got them everywhere on almost every corner. We don't. So I think this is a nightmare. This is a disaster waiting for it to happen. I'm sorry, I do.
Murray Stewart again from number 4 Bateman Lane.
Mr. Macri reminded me that I overlooked having on the record that the reciprocal easement between the two properties should be a legal easement on title, a deed on title, and I just we just wanted to have that on the record.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
Abel White, number 11 Cedar Grove, Mayor. Two small questions for Mr. King. The exit onto Coleraine is labeled as being temporary. Is that until it gets moved to the north? And when it is moved to the north section, will it still remain a right-out exit?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The right-out access that's shown onto Coleraine has been agreed to by the region. Essentially, it's temporary for a five-year review. So they want the ability within 5 years to determine if that access works or not, or if it's causing issues with respect to traffic conflicts at the intersection. We have, until such time as there's an actual application for the property to the north, there isn't a decision in terms of whether that's going to be a right-in, right-out, or not an access at all. That would have to be part of that, the next application for that property. I don't know the answer to that yet.
And one small, if
yes.
On the proposed uses, they say the word restaurant, but is that including a coffee shop restaurant or a pub restaurant? Because obviously a coffee shop would not have the late hours, but a pub restaurant would have, you know, a different feel, a different timeline. Any thoughts on that?
I think the answer is that it's a generic definition of restaurant in the zoning bylaw right now.
Yeah. I think I'm getting the same notice here from staff as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're very welcome.
I know you don't know what restaurants or coffee shops would be going there, but is this capable of having a drive?
I need you to repeat your name.
Oh, sorry. Maddalena Salatino, 17 Harvest Moon.
Thank you.
Will a drive-through be considered?
This design can't accommodate a drive-through.
Okay.
We haven't left space for it.
I don't have a question, just a comment or comments. I work for the City of Toronto, Provincial Offenses Officer, and just by looking at this, this is an enforcement nightmare.
Yeah.
Enforcement nightmare. Noise, infestation, waste. It's just the complaints will be rolling in, and I'm not sure you guys have enough enforcement to handle it.
Thank you. Thanks. Any further questions?
Thomas Molella, 14 Harvest Moon. I moved to Bolt and there was sheep and goats in my backyard. How did it come to this? I have tractor trailers coming by my house on Harvest Moon. I hear Jake brakes 2-3 o'clock in the morning. They're coming from Highway 400. They don't know where they're going. They're lost. They're stopping in front of my house. The snowplow guy stops in front of my house. And now you guys are putting the only entrance to this plaza right in my backyard. And the one exit may be closed in 5 years, and we already know the nightmare at TD Bank already, what you guys have done to this. It's just unsafe. It's way too much traffic on Harvest Moon already as it is, especially when it gets caught at the train and you have 50, 60, 70 cars coming in all at once. I have to bring my kids inside because I only have 3-4 feet for my children to play on. I think this is absolutely crazy.
Any further questions or comments from the public? If not, I'm going to move to council. Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. So my first couple of questions pertain to the property to the north. So Mr. Murray already indicated that a reciprocal easement would be required. Has the applicant begun this process to facilitate this reciprocal agreement to ensure that it will be done prior to coming to council?
We haven't started the process. We was actually talking about it this evening, and staff have advised that if we actually file an application by Friday, it could potentially be on the June committee meeting.
Sorry, Stephanie?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I just want to say that it's May. If you file by this Friday, you get on the May meeting. That's all.
That's right. Sorry, we're talking about two different meetings. But. Okay. So that's a possibility for us, actually. We're going to look at that tomorrow.
Okay. So that rolls into my question is, you know, can we work through the reciprocal agreement to ensure that this matter is resolved prior to coming to council? And my question was more for staff on a timeline. Is that a possibility?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, yes, it is a possibility. So prior to this public meeting, I was speaking with Paul King and the owner, explaining what the timelines would be, suggesting that they do work to obtain that easement prior to coming forward to council. So it appears that there is time that they have to do this, and they can make it work.
Thank you. And then this item pertains to both the resident to the north and those facing off of Harvest Moon with regards to the fencing. And you did mention that there would be a noise fence requirement that the town is requesting, even though it's not necessarily required through their noise study.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, that's correct. So the our peer review of their noise study is suggesting a 2-meter light fence, so wood fence, along both of the lot lines that abut residential uses. We will be looking for that through the site plan and rezoning process.
And will those fences be similar to the fences that currently exist on the adjoining neighbors' properties?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. So I've had conversations with Mr. Macri because I understand that the fence, he appreciates the fence that's on the north side of his property line. We have worked with him to ensure that the fence that will be on the south side of his property line will match the fence that is on his north side.
Okay. And then with regards to the snow clearing that was mentioned, where in this plan, Mr. King, will the snow be accumulated, and how will it drain to ensure that it doesn't affect any of the surrounding properties?
Two things, I guess. The site plan does identify some snow storage areas, particularly the northwest corner. The architects also told me that we have 4.5 meters of landscape strip on the west side, and we have 3 meters of landscape strip on the north side, both of which can accommodate a fair amount of snow. The third alternative that a lot of plazas are currently going to is complete removal, getting the snow right off their site. They're finding it is just as efficient, and that way they don't have to deal with winter melt and kill of landscaping. So that may be an option as well for the site, but we are required through the site plan process to identify snow storage areas. In terms of drainage, this plan doesn't reflect the drainage, but all of the drainage from the site actually goes to the southeast corner to a double set of catch basins on Harvest Moon and then through to the pond. So the site's designed to drain from northwest to southeast.
Okay. So furthering on the possibility of having snow removal rather than snow storage on site, and given some situations that I've dealt with in the past with regards to delivery of products or supplies to their stores, I guess this is a question for Mr. Loveridge. How are we going to ensure that at 2 o'clock in the morning, the residents in the backyard are not hearing beep, beep, beep while the snow is being removed or supplies are being delivered to these businesses?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. So at this point, we have restricted delivery hours for the town of Caledon, and I think we would have to enforce that as we go forward on sites like this.
And does that include for snow removal? Because sometimes that's different than delivery.
I'm not sure that that counts, but I don't think we have restrictions on snow removal operations.
So that's a concern that I think that we need to address, whether that's a bylaw that we look at bringing forward through our noise bylaw, or whether that's an issue we address with this site specifically, but I would like to bring that forward. And with regards to the entrances and exits, I'm assuming through the transportation study, both done by the town, through the consultant, that all possible entrances and exits were reviewed, and that this was determined the best out of all the options.
The entrance on Harvest Moon is by far the only entrance. It is as far west as we can go to clear the intersection. There were no other alternatives to it.
Thank you. And maybe just to echo some of the questions that were brought forward by Ms. Brioche, can our planning staff advise as to how these lands became to be commercial? And I'm assuming that a public process was involved in this.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, the lands would have been brought in to be neighborhood commercial designation through an official plan amendment, which is a public process.
Do we know the timing of this? Did this happen?
If I remember correctly, that was a few years ago, wasn't it?
The commercial designation was done with the Northwest Bolton Secondary Plan. Like I say, that was almost 20 years ago when that was done. And it was done on the basis of there were, I think, about 1,300 houses in that Northwest quadrant that weren't served commercially. And that was the basis for the commercial designation. The site was originally owned by Metris, who did apply for commercial development on that block. They didn't agree with the configuration that you see here. They wanted the building in the back corner. And the town saw that as an issue with respect to allowing the Macri site to develop if that building was in the way, and that's the rationale for bringing it forward. But the designation was done a long time ago.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Innes. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Couple questions. With respect to the studies that were done, traffic and, well, let's deal with traffic first. The impact on the community, particularly the Harvest Moon community, did it look at the impact of this development on its own, or did it look at the full build-out of the whole site? In the end, that's what it's going to be. So it behooves us to look at the bigger picture longer term. I'm just wondering, was the requirement to look at full impacts or just what in essence is phase one?
My recollection is it was only this property, it was only phase one of the development, and that is in part because, one, there's no application for the northern property, so we don't know what the intent is, whether that would develop as retail or office or some other sort of commercial-oriented use, single use or multiple use, and that has a bearing on traffic distribution and counts. And so we didn't have any ability to sort of crystal ball what might happen with that property. So it was only done for this particular site.
Okay, and I guess from the town's... Oh.
Okay. Stephanie?
Sorry, through you, Mayor Thompson. I'm just looking at the transportation report here, and it did mention the phase two, so the build-out of the Mr. Macri's property, but it was only an estimate. So they took basically what they did was they doubled the retail use and they doubled the office space use and used it as an estimate for trip generation when they looked at it.
Because that's what I was going to get at is basically you could expect double the impact. So if they anticipated double, then I would take that to mean they're looking at full build out. With respect to the noise study, and I look at the permitted uses, and some of them can be more of an issue. I know, for example, some examples in Bolton, a fitness center, which you wouldn't think would be a noise issue. In the summer, oftentimes they'll open up the windows or doors, and it can be the music. Certainly a private club or a restaurant, again, music could be an issue. The noise study, did it look at the most intense permitted uses on the site. So basically you raise the bar high and mitigate for that?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. When we did the peer review of the noise study, we looked at the proposed uses for the property, and there was a number of recommendations that came back. So another recommendation was limiting the hours for the patio use. There was recommendations on when delivery trucks should be going on site, and all of these things we will be rolling into the site plan agreement. So we looked at the uses that the applicant was proposing.
Okay, and so the list of permitted uses under, and it's deemed neighborhood commercial, so maybe that kind of captures the fact that there is the potential for impacts, I'm not sure. Is staff satisfied that the list of permitted uses limits the possibility of conflicting impacts with the residents from a noise perspective? What I'm getting at is a commercial, if I use, for example, Queensgate Plaza, that commercial, that the distance from the nearest resident is far enough that you could allow those permitted uses with little fear of it being conflicting. Here where you have the close proximity, does that in any way, do we kind of weed out potential conflicting uses that might have noise impacts, or is it a standard list that will fall under commercial?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Based on the recommendations that our consultant for our noise, the peer review of the noise report did, the uses that they're proposing, as long as we have the proper recommendations and the mitigation measures in place, they'll meet the noise requirements of MOE guidelines. So as long as we put the proper mitigation measures in place, the uses that they're proposing will meet MOE noise guidelines.
Okay. I don't recall what the Region of Peel is doing with the extension of the bypass north in this area, Coleraine north of Harvest Moon. And I don't know if there's a sidewalk on the west side of Coleraine or not. But looking at the site plan, it doesn't look like there is a sidewalk incorporated into the east side of the property. I would just hate to see the region put in a sidewalk and then there be a gap. So I don't know, maybe there's not one there. But if there is one, I'm a stickler for continuous pedestrian connections.
There's one on both sides.
There is one.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I know that there is one that extends at least along Mr. Macri's property. I believe it runs south. It's on the west side of Coleraine or the west side of the bypass. There is a sidewalk that is there. I know that there is one in front of Mr. Macri's property.
So, but in front of this property?
I believe it extends all the way to the corner.
Okay. I think that was it for myself.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson.
Thank you. I have one question. I would like to ask Mr. King, with the subdivision here, you're talking about the garbage and the challenges. Have you looked at the Molochs system? And the city of Guelph uses it, especially down around the university campus, you know, Stone Road. And it has really cleaned up the parking lots. And I think it's something we need to look at. I know I've had extensive discussion with engineering on this, but I think that's something you need to look at. And the Region Appeal does have certain sites in Brampton, Mississauga, that they're using these Molochs. And they're like a dome.
Right.
Where all the commercial people come out and just put it in. The garbage truck comes in, they dump the bag in right in the garbage truck, and it works very, very well.
And is it external?
It's external. And it's a really good system, and I think that's something I would encourage you to take a look at, subject you go forward. I think this is something that would really fit well, especially for the neighbors if this does go forward. I would recommend that you look at that Moloch system.
I'll mention it to our architect. Like as I said, the objective here was to have that in garbage internal, where it's where it's out of sight, yeah. And it could be climate controlled as well.
But it sits in a round container. If you look at the McDonald's, the Tim Hortons on Stone Road, they have them all over the place, and they work very, very well. And I just say this is something that I think we need to take a hard look at, not just here, but I think in all our redevelopments. I think it's something we have to look very hard at. The Region Appeal and the Waste Management Group said it's the way of the future, but I'm just saying I think this is something that would fit very well for what you're looking for.
Okay.
Okay. There's no further questions. Oh, Councillor Mizzapelli, you're done? Or you got one more question here?
Yeah, Mayor Thompson, thank you. I just had one that popped into my mind, and I was just wondering, when this gets built, I know that there's St. Nicholas School there. I know there's students that walk from the east side of Coleraine. They'll be traversing through here. Was that in any way factored into the overall plan as far as pedestrian movements, things like that, in any way that would have an impact on, or that the development would have an impact on? Because I imagine there'll be some students that will stop in to the plaza before continuing on. Did that trigger anything? Was it deemed significant at all?
Mr. King?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. I was just going to have Paul King explain where the pedestrians can connect on the site to the sidewalks that are around the area. We have worked with our landscape staff to try and ensure that there is safe pedestrian movement across the site. So if you look at the plan, the west side of the building, there is a connection down to Harvest Moon by the patio. There's a connection there so they can walk along the west side of the building, or they can walk along the front, so to speak, that fronts onto Harvest Moon. And then we have the connection over to the Coleraine Drive side as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, I was going to do it. I only do that for OMB once, but Mr. Stewart.
I would have had, it's Murray Stewart, number 4, Bateman Lane. I would have had garbage on our list had we not been assured that it was going to be internalized. And that's kind of assumed. But we encourage, now I don't know the system that you're speaking of.
It's pretty impressive.
But in the proximity to the residences in the area, the internalized garbage seemed to be acceptable.
Thank you. All right, if there's no further questions, I'm going to call. Oh, okay, we got one.
Carlo Cassano, and I'm at 105 Harvest Moon. I just want to know where the parking spots for the tractor trailers will be. That's the only one I want to know. Where will the tractor trailers park when they want to go in there? That's all. Thank you.
We have not. This is a neighborhood commercial site. It requires delivery spaces for the site. We're not proposing any large-scale loading space. We're expecting all deliveries to be done by normal, smaller-scale delivery trucks.
I think you were just saying there would be stopping off to get a coffee or something, pulling off parking. I think he's being a little sarcastic, but it's just... yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to call the meeting. I'll be on the docket here.
Sorry. I think it's a valid point, yeah. So I would like to give Mr. Loveridge an opportunity to comment whether or not trucks are allowed to access it via Harvest Moon.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, Harvest Moon is not an approved truck route. Okay, guys, listen, yeah, if you're going to comment, I got to have you up here. I can't, because it's not a public record, right? It's recorded, if you can understand me. But no, thank you, and I understand, and we got issues all over. I understand your concern. But it's not a truck route, but if it is, that's what bylaw enforcement's for, okay? So if there's no further questions, I'm going to call the meeting. Thank you very much for everybody coming out. Thank you, Mr. King, and Mr. Loveridge and staff, thank you for everybody
enduring, but I think there were some good questions that needed to be dealt with tonight, so I'm calling it at 9:32 at the adjournment of the meeting, and the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.